Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue exploring Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Our talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, and the readings are taken from Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10 and Philippians 3 verses 1 to 11. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the Message. To know him personally. And that's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here goes. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting the church. A meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules, when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Susie. Do we have the... In your face, we'll have it. We'll have after. Thank you. Let's just pray as we start to unpack that amazing passage from Philippians. Heavenly Father, as we discover, rediscover all that we have received through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, may we be those who pride ourselves in knowing you deeply, in living in the resurrection power and in sharing in your longings for the world through suffering. Be with us as we explore those readings and talk to us personally what it means to us today. Amen. So let's start with a question, and the question is, what difference has Jesus made in your life? Because Jesus makes all the difference for those who experience him. So what difference has Jesus made in your life? Next Sunday afternoon, we're going to have three people from this congregation getting baptized, Maureen, John and Rick, and I had the privilege to hear how Jesus changed their life. They shared a little bit of their story, their testimony, and that will be also shared next Sunday afternoon, whether in person or in kind of writing that I can read, because Jesus is in the business of changing lives. He's in the business of transforming us, redeeming us. And for some, it's a work of like a progressive work, and in those who are going to be baptized, that's some of the story, is how progressively God was revealed to them, and there were some milestones, some important times when they realized things about God. And for others, it's a more a dramatic turning around, and they can point to a certain time where God was very, very present, and when they gave their life to Jesus. And yes, then there was a journey, and it's still a journey, but there was a more dramatic turning around. And in my life, that maybe I'm closer to the second one, there was a definite day when I felt God was calling me to give my life, and I realized who Jesus was. And the way I would kind of explain it is, it's like a little bit like Paul, who was blinded through that revelation, and then scales fell off his eyes. It's a little bit like that. My eyes were opened, and all the kind of arguments that I had about, oh, the Bible has been mostly changed, oh, really, Jesus, do we really know if he did all those miracles? It just was gone, and I think it's God's presence coming to you. My eyes were opened to who I really was and my need to be forgiven and changed and transformed, who God was and his love and his compassion, and a better understanding of what the world was all about. And I remember also receiving an amazing desire to share my experience, a kind of love that I didn't create, but a love for others and a desire to share Jesus around me. And some of my burdens that were kind of lifted up, not all of them, but some. And one of them was my fear of speaking in public. So that's a work of grace, because otherwise I wouldn't be here around. Not that sometimes my heart doesn't pound before and I get stressed, that's fine, but that's work of grace. The difference Jesus makes is massive, is eternal, and it's impossible to fully comprehend. And for you, it will be different. But we're called to share those stories, to encourage one another with what Jesus has done in your life. How has Jesus made a difference? And Paul, in our first reading, speaks of life without Christ and the difference that Christ makes in a Christian life. And so he has a whole series there in Ephesians of what it means to live without Christ. It speaks of being dead, not alive, because of the way we live. The translation in the Message is stuck in a stagnant life of being self-centered and self-deluded. It's being stuck in following the ways of the Lord and not being free, really. The world that doesn't know the first things about living. Gratifying a life that is really not according to God's desire, a rebellious life. And for some, it can bring you into very dark places with dark thoughts. Translation says, filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and then exalt it in disobedience, yeah, something like that. But the thing is, we all did it. And that's the real equality of human beings. Paul says, all have sinned. All of us have come short of God's glory, God's purpose, God's intention. All of us. No one is better. We were all in the same boat, separate from God and separate from Christ. And then the contrast of life with Christ, what we receive by grace, that message there, it says it is by grace, or it is through a gift that you are being reconciled, that you are being saved. It's not something you have produced. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And what are the gifts we received in Jesus? What are the gifts? Well, Jesus raises us up with him from death, that's where we start, to life, to new life. We are seated in the heavenly realms. Now, what does it mean to be seated? Well, you're all seated. That means at least that you feel quite relaxed, you know, kind of secure, you're seated. We are seated in a place of amazing promises, the heavenly realms. We are in the very presence of God, and we're not standing in fear. We're sitting. We can, in a sense, relax. We know that we're in the presence of an almighty, holy God, but without fear, because our right standing doesn't depend on our works. It depends on God's grace. We are God's masterpiece, it says in that passage. And that's not just individually, but God wants to create in each faith community a masterpiece, something that is so beautiful that it will attract people from the outside. That's what God wants in every Christian community, to create a masterpiece. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared in advance. And so our need is to continue to pray and to seek to understand, to discern what are those good works for us at St. James, as a church, as a community, and for us individually at work and in our families and in our individual community. And there is much more that God has done on our behalf. He reconciled us through Christ on the cross. He brought us into a family. Christian life cannot be lived outside a faith community. You can't do it. You can do it for a time, but I think you know the illustration of like the coal that needs to be together to keep warm. And if you take one apart, it will still be hot for a little bit, but it will slowly cool down. And those of us, me included, who maybe have experienced a time of being out of faith community, we know that it's true. We need that place where our faith can grow and be sustained. And that's God's plan, to bring into a family where that can happen. A place where God's Spirit dwells and where we allow God's life to be expressed. Now, Paul in the passage says it's important to remember. You remember. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we looked at that passage about being grateful and thankful with harvest and the importance to remember what God has done for us. To remember as a church, what has God done for us in the past that might inform our future? And what has God done us in me and through my family? And one way to remember is, like Paul in the second passage, is to then rejoice. There we go. To rejoice about the life we have in Jesus. Oh, there should be another one. It's been cut. There we go. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And Paul, I think, will say that at least six times in the whole letter. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, worship through the Spirit, and put no confidence in the flesh. And this idea of putting confidence in the flesh is Paul expressing that he tried that, or that he lived like that. He said, you know, if anyone can be confident in human abilities to seek his own righteousness, I'm the first. Compared to my people, I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. I was circumcised. I did all the right things according to the law. I even went to persecute the church, believing that I was doing God's will. And he realized when Jesus revealed himself how wrong he was. He was circumcised, he was an Israelite, he was even a Pharisee, which were the people who knew the law and were very strict into abiding. But he realized that the law cannot set us free. Sets of rules, church regulations, religious duties cannot set us free. If it's one thing it does, the law of God, it shows us that we are not free. It shows us that there is a deep issue with us. That's what Paul says. He says, I want to do the good, but I don't have the strength to do it. Who will deliver me from this body of bondage? And he says, praise to you, O Christ. He is the one who can make us free from bondage. The bondage of that power that keeps all humanity in rebellion, the power of sin and the power of death. Only Jesus can break that. And so that's why Paul in his passage says, we should have ambition as Christian. And in that passage, he gives us three ambitions as Christian. First, to know Christ. And that's kind of the strapline of this church, to know Christ and make Christ known to the world. To know Christ intimately. But what does it mean to know Jesus? Well, the Greek word, knowing, is not just head knowledge. It's not accumulating lots of information. Oh, I know about Jesus. We might know a lot about God. We might not even know a lot about the Bible without really knowing God at all. It's easier in French because we have two words. You know, you need to learn French. You know, we have savoir and we have connaître. So head knowledge is savoir. You know, you go to university and you can fill your heads with lots of knowledge. But you can know very little about the job. And I think everyone who has experienced kind of university, you know, you get all your heads full with knowledge and then you have to do the job and you realize, I have a lot to learn. Connaître is about relationship. It's about spending time with someone and have this kind of intimate knowledge of people. That's what happens in relationship, in marriage, in friendship. We get to know people, not just as a series of information, but as a reality. It's a dynamic reality of knowing God. And it happens when we learn to listen and to follow and to obey. It's part of a dynamic relationship when we allow God to transform us It's a life of obedience and service. And then the second one is to experience Christ's resurrection power. I like this bit. Resurrection power, yes. That's all the promises that we have in Jesus that you can't have through religious duties. All the things that Jesus did on your behalf and all the gifts that he gives to you. It's a dynamic and it's an exciting work of God in our lives. You see what Jesus did on the cross, by his death and resurrection, he disarmed God's all enemy, Satan. And we have lots of titles for him, the liar, the deceiver of nations, the one who seduced humanity into rebellion. Not only Jesus disarmed that old enemy, but he also breaks the power that holds us in captivity. He gives us real freedom, and he defeated death. Jesus makes you able to live a life you could not imagine possible on your own or through religious duties and practices. He enables you to live a holy life, something radically different, one that fulfills his purpose and his intention. And he also enables you to be an agent of his life. He gives you gifts, abilities to touch lives of others. So make it your ambition, continue to know him more intimately and to allow the life of Jesus in you to spring out through the gifts and abilities that he has given you. When that is done through God's power, it will build up, it will strengthen, it will nourish others. And you will be also an agent that changes the life of others around you and even communities. But Paul also makes a third ambition, and that's the one I don't really like. To partner in Christ's suffering. What does it mean? We don't want to hear about suffering. We see enough suffering on our TV. What does it mean? When we give our life in service, when we said, it's not my will anymore, your will, God, make that grow, it can bring you into difficult places, difficult situation. It brought me here. Not that you're too difficult, you're a nice bunch of people. But I had to learn a language, and I'm not a language person. You might be surprised or not with all the mistakes that I do when I speak, but it's been a hard journey to learn English. Languages was my worst subject at school. And I always kind of got a bit angry with God. Why do you call me to a place where I feel so weak? At least build on my strength. By God's grace, that's his desire for now. But it can bring you into difficult places. I know that when I became a Christian and I wanted to share, people looked at me with, you know, at best strange, and at worst said, oh, don't be so enthusiastic, you know, yes, keep your faith for you, and don't disturb too much. It's not sometimes easy to be Christian. Paul sees suffering as something you can't escape as a Christian. And it's not a penalty. We don't suffer as a penalty. It's not to do penance. It's actually a privilege. And I think that changed my understanding. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ. And we do it with his strength. We do it with his power. For some Christians in the world, suffering is very tangible. Some are persecuted as Christians, some severely, and we pray for them. But for all of us, it will include what the great theologian Lightfoot called all the pangs and the afflictions in the struggle against sin, either within or without. That's the Christian life. The struggles, the reality of living in a broken world, brokenness inside and how God is transforming that, and brokenness outside and how we allow God's work to take hold of our lives. So maybe to conclude, this week, try to remember what Jesus has done in your life. Try to think about that journey. Look back with gratitude and think about how maybe your story can be shared with someone else. Just after the talk, Nigel is going to give, for those who want, those little tags, and if you want to write a prayer or of gratitude or a prayer about that, do that. And let's all together recommit ourselves to trust in God, to learn to know Him, to know Jesus more intimately, to experience the power of His resurrection here in our lives together, and to, if we are called to, share His suffering as we seek to walk into God's plans. So let's take a moment of silence as we pray, and then we will then, well, let's pray first. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh with an understanding of your love and your purpose in our lives. Jesus, help me to focus my life on the surpassing greatness of knowing you, walking with you in the power of your resurrection, and joyfully sharing the privilege of Christian sufferings for the sake of those you want to reach and those you call to yourself. So open my eyes, open my heart, and open my mind afresh to your wonderful plans. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.